If you've ever missed a Manifest telecast, don't miss this one. Watch it in its entirety. This is so intriguing. And I'm bringing this up because this is now beginning to happen. And we're going to talk about end time warning dreams from the 1800s. And listen to it very carefully. I always want to take a text, which is go to the Bible, find a verse that sort of fits in with what we're talking about. Amos 3:6-8 says this. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So let me just say this up front, that when it talks about he does nothing except he reveals the secret to the servants, the prophets, many people would say, well, there's no such thing as prophets today. Well, I'm not going to argue that with people because that is one of the fivefold offices of the church. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are self-acclaimed and they put that title on themselves. But I will tell you, there are many, many godly praying people. Some of them are older saints in rural areas and towns and cities across the world who pray and the Lord speaks to them and shows them things to come that are going to happen on a national level, natural disasters, crises that are coming. And my father was one of those that experienced those type of experiences. But let me just say this to you. God controls to whom he speaks. And I'm going to make a statement here that you're going to say to me up front, Perry, that can't be true. It is true. God at times reveals the future to unconverted people. People who don't have a relationship with him. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, let me just go to the Bible. Abimelech was not in covenant with the Almighty God, but he was a king that lived in the time of Abraham. And he took Sarah and wanted to take Sarah as his wife, but God told him in a dream. God told this man in a dream, you're a dead man if you touch her. And that's another man's wife, Genesis chapter 20, verse 30. There's Abimelech. What about Pharaoh? Pharaoh was not a believer in the God of Joseph, or, you know, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, he was not a believer. He was a pagan Egyptian Pharaoh. And he had this dream about the cows and the corn and famine coming, but only Joseph, who had God's spirit in him, could interpret the dream, Genesis 41. Nebuchadnezzar is another example. When he started having these dreams of Daniel chapter 2, the metallic image, he's ready to kill everybody because they can't interpret what the dream means. This man was a worshiper of the god Marduk. Later, after his breakdown, he became a believer in the God of Daniel, but he wasn't converted to the Lord in any way or in covenant with the God of the Hebrews at the time he's having these prophetic dreams. What about the wise men? They are from Persia, and the Magi come and they are warned in a dream not to go back and talk to Herod, and so they go another way. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Wait a minute. Pilate's wife. Now, some suggest that she might have been a secret believer in the Lord. We don't have any evidence of that, but she was warned in a dream, not for her husband to have nothing to do with Jesus, that it would cause great danger to him. Now, here's my point. All five of these people, or groups of individuals, had some type of leadership position or influence that they were in. Pilate's wife, and you've got Abimelech, a king, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, the wise men who were very, very wealthy. But the point I want to make is that God will speak to people, sometimes very common people, sometimes people of different groups, and give information. The following dreams and visions occurred in the late 1800s, right after the Civil War. And it's important you understand it was after the Civil War these dreams begin to come to religious people and elders and people that were fasting and praying. The information I'm about to give you, which are 9 points, were reported by a New York news reporter, and he compiled them in numerous reports in the New York newspaper because they dealt with America's future government, what things would be like in the future in America. Now, remember, this was the late 1800s. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take each of these and I'm going to read these to you. And if the editors want to put up some pictures to kind of, you know, illustrate it, that would be fine as well. Number one, there will be internal fighting among families as predicted by Christ in the New Testament. Well, that is definitely happening. You have Christian kids that have turned against their parents, sometimes parents and a husband against a wife, and that was predicted by Christ. Now, there will not be one big war, but fighting spreading out to states, cities, and neighborhoods in America. Now, this is interesting because we have cities right now, as I'm taping this, we have a major city in America that is just fighting and warring. You have other, it's just breaking out in cities and neighborhoods across America. Third, a secret band, which is a secret organization, will sap the life out of this nation. We can make that different groups, or just say it could represent this group, that group, or that group. Number four, the sea will heave beyond its bounds, engulfing cities, quakes, hail, rain, and destruction. Now, that would actually, in my opinion, be tsunamis, but also numerous earthquakes. We have actually seen that at this point. Mobs will roam the cities looking for money and food and destroying anyone opposing them. Now, if you haven't heard of this, you haven't paid attention. There are mobs of young people, sometimes 20 and 30 at a time, that have gone into California stores and other stores and go in convenience stores and just take what they want and just wreck the place and they leave. And this has been happening now. I've seen it happen for probably about 2 years. Now, one of the most unusual predictions is what I'm going to read. Quote, the Indians in the south of the border. Now, back in that day, which would be the 1800s, south of the border would refer to Mexico. So they used the term Indians. That's not the proper term, of course, but that's the term they used back then. The Indians in the south of the border or Mexico will raise up and challenge America. Well, the whole border crisis that you hear about is about that right there. The next prediction was the government will abuse the Constitution, go into severe debt, and you will see politicians flee for their safety. And I think really to a limited ability, of course, the debt's there. There's no question about that. And there wasn't much debt back when this was said. There is now. I think it's like $40 trillion. Here's another one. This is number eight. Manufacturing will cease for a time. Even farmers will allow land to remain unfarmed. Now, you say, what the farming thing, what is that about? I have read reports the past couple years where it's costing farmers too much. One farmer in California uprooted all his almond trees. Another farmer just got rid of all of his cattle. And because what was happening is the cost of doing the business and the cost and even trying to get the water in, all these other things and all these laws and rules was making it impossible for farmers to make the money that they needed. And so that's really began to happen. Manufacturing and ceasing for a time. We've seen entire plants close down for different reasons and different purposes. All right. Internal fighting will cause collapse of the federal and state governments. Now, folks, if I've ever looked at something and said, I can see the handwriting on the wall with this one, because you see the two different parties, they do not get along with each other. If one wants this, the other will do completely opposite of it. It's across the board. It did not used to be as bad as it is now. So I'm saying these nine things that I've just told you were predicted in the 1800s. All right. Now, look at America's condition right now. There's 104 million people that right now are not working. There's 1 in 8 that use food stamps. And of course, some of them, they depend on this. But again, 1 in 8. Now think about that. So 1 out of every 8 per people that you see are probably 1 of 8, according to the statistics, are using food stamps, which means they have to depend on government assistance for their food. The national debt is somewhere around or over $38 trillion. There are 5 cities and 38 local governments looking at bankruptcy. Democracies, and this is important you understand this from a historical perspective, that democracies eventually fail. The reasons democracies actually fail are actually for several reasons. Democracies fail because of high taxes, that people eventually cannot afford to pay, so they shut down their business. Democracies eventually fail because of trade wars. Democracies fail because of corruption in the politics. And we've seen recently where government money, millions of dollars of government money, was mishandled, and just corruption in the area of money. Anytime you get money flowing freely, you're going to have corruption. History shows that, because most people don't know how to properly handle that. And democracies eventually fall because of wars are being taken over with civil wars, internal wars, or wars with other nations. You do find, and you don't hear a lot about this, but there are people that know how this is working, that some of America's politicians are purchasing land outside of America because some of them actually believe that there's going to be a future collapse of the entire American society. Now, for 1800 years, and we can go back, when I say 1800 years, I take you back to the time where Christ made his predictions. He ascended to heaven, and you had that time period of the early church up to the time of the completion of the book of Revelation, which is the last book of our New Testament now. But for about, let's say, 1800 years or longer, what we call scholars, biblical students, ministers, people have attempted to calculate the time of the end, because when you read the book of Daniel, the prophet Zechariah, the prophet Ezekiel, the prophet Isaiah, they have references in all of those books to the time of the end and events that would take place. They have revelations of the king coming back, the Messiah returning. Then you have the four Gospels, words of Jesus, and you have the writings of Paul, 14 books of the New Testament. And also, Peter made references to this, and you had John wrote the entire 22 chapters. It wasn't divided into chapters when John wrote it. It was one long scroll. But you have the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation that deal with the time of the end. So, really, if you go back and you look at from the time that Rome existed, as we call it the Roman Republic, the Imperial Rome, etc., ruled by those emperors from Rome, Italy, from the time that Rome collapsed, we call it Imperial Rome collapsed, we come into the 15, we discover that then the church, there was like a religious, instead of being a political system, there was a religious system that formed through the popes, etc. And then you have the Byzantine Empire, which lasted over 1,000 years. And the church began to examine who the Antichrist would be, what that beast system that Daniel talked about in the book of Daniel, that had a man, little horn, the Bible calls him a little horn. He has 10 kings with him, represented by 10 toes on the metallic image of Daniel chapter 2, represented in chapter 7 and 8 by the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. We see that same imagery used in the book of Revelation. So they have tried to establish an idea. So for 1,200 years, men would continue to search biblical numbers, or they would look for a candidate and try to connect an event in history to a prophetic date. Now, I want to show you this about the biblical numbers, because this is something quite interesting. The number 666 is in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, and 666 alludes to what is called the number of the beast, or the number of the Antichrist. Well, as time progressed, the year 666 AD became a very interesting year that people who were Christians at that time were looking toward, thinking that something amazing would happen at 666 AD, and they based it on the number 666 and the year 666. Of course, there were things that happened, but there was no mark of the beast. There was no revelation of the Antichrist. The next date that they chose in trying to figure out prophetic events was the date 1000. Why was 1000 picked? Because in Revelation chapter 20 in verse 2, the Bible said that Satan would be bound for 1,000 years. So here's what happened. Suddenly, what took place was, when things were coming to the year 1000 AD, 998, 999, there was this big stirring that Satan would be bound. There were monks and there were priests and different ones that were talking about it, and they thought that perhaps the kingdom of God could come, or Christ could return. Some people actually set off for Jerusalem selling what they had and donning white robes to wait on the Mount of Olives for the return. Of course, when the year came and passed and nothing happened, a lot of them returned back where they came from. Now, the next date that was on the calendar of prophetic events is 1260. Now, when you read, for example, the 1000 one, it says Satan would be bound for 1,000 years. But what they're doing is taking these numbers and applying them to dates on the calendar. So in 1260, which was 1260 AD, many believe that the two witnesses would come about that time in 1260. And this goes back to the Crusaders and all the battles that were taking place between the Crusaders and the Muslims. And so 1260 AD was a very pivotal year. There were some amazing things that took place about that time frame. Well, nothing after that date passed. The next date that was looked at was 1290. Why is that? Because in Daniel 12 and verse 11, it says, it talks about 1,290 days when the sacrifice will be taken away. So in the year 1290 AD, you had the Crusaders and you had Eastern Christians that were looking for some huge prophetic event to happen. Well, there were wars taking place, there was fighting taking place, but nothing significant happened, although there would be maybe a transfer of power from the Crusaders to the Muslims and the Muslims back. So sometimes things like that would fall on some of these dates. Then the next date that was selected was the date 1335 or 1335 AD. Where is that date 1335 found? It's found in Daniel 12, verse 12. Blessed is he that comes to the 1335th day. Now, Daniel alludes it to being a period of days, but what people did in that time, as they approached 1335 AD, they began to anticipate it would be a blessed year and a blessed time. And once again, some of them are looking for the kingdom to come. Some of them are looking for the Messiah to return. And so, you know, we can go forward in history and we can show all these different dates that people were interested in. We could take the time and show you all the people that were looking for the return of the Lord. There was a list of about 20 during that 1,000-year period. Well, you all remember during the date 2000 AD, in 1999, when the year 2000 was arriving, there was this big, big stir about Y2K or the year 2000 and the computer rollover. And there was a lot of hype. And some of this was coming from computer specialists. Some of this was coming from prophetic ministers. And it turned out to not be quite what people thought it was. So people began to look at Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. In 2 days, he'll revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. And they looked at that as one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Therefore, the 2 days of Hosea 6 and 2 represented 2,000 years. So people began to preach and teach that on the year 2000, there would be perhaps the return of the Lord connected to the Y2K shutdown, and that didn't happen. Now, this obviously should teach all of us something. It should teach us that if the Bible talks about 1,260 days, 1,290 days, 1,335 days, it is talking about days. There have been many people that have used this time frames and turned the days into years based on the idea of Israel doubted God for 40 days, the spies spied out the land they didn't believe. Israel had to wander a year for every day or 40 years, and they used that to say there's biblical precedent for turning years into days. And that may be true in some instances, and you can find some interesting patterns there. But the reality is that we have to say if the Bible is talking about 1,000 years, it is 1,000 years. If it's talking about 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months, it is literally that. So we have to take the scripture literal where we can take it literal. Now, my point is that so many people now, and I know if you watch the interview with my son Jonathan, one of the things that intrigued him, because I asked him, how in the world did you become interested in prophecy and news and end time events? Because he heard me preach it since he was a baby. I'm sure he didn't understand it as a baby, but he's heard me preach it my whole life. He sits at the International Prophetic Summit, which you've got to come to that at some point. It's amazing. Greatest prophecy meeting all year long, usually in April, end of April, in 2026 at least. And so he sat there listening to those speakers, and he paid a lot more attention than I ever thought he was paying attention to it. But this is what he said to me. When the secular people who did not claim to be Christians begin to talk about how this is tying in, how this could happen, how this is where this is going, I start realizing scriptures and prophets of the Bible and John and the Apocalypse and Daniel has coded references or concealed references or direct references to the things the secular people are saying. And if they're paying attention, maybe I should pay attention, right? Now, the facts are this. The real clues in the New Testament to the return of the Lord will be found in Matthew chapter 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13. But I do want to say this to you. These were dreams and things that people had in the 1800s. In the last days, sons and daughters will prophesy, old men will dream dreams, young men will see visions. Pay attention when all the prayer warriors, all the people that are maybe strong prophetic teachers, the real deal, are beginning to tell you the same thing, or they are seeing the same thing, because that is real proof that something big is about to happen. My son and I put together Children of the Apocalypse. It's not a book just about kids. We have Cribs in the Crossfire, some things like that. It is a book for parents who are living with apocalyptic times with a family. Many protocols. It's a fabulous book. If you order it from our ministry, only from our ministry, you're going to get a first edition signed copy by me and Jonathan. So get ready to go to your computer or phone after you watch this right now.
Are you raising children in our increasingly dangerous, deceptive, and apocalyptic world? How do you protect them from spiritual darkness and the schemes of the enemy? How do you protect yourself, your family, and your church, and stand firm as the storms intensify?
Hello, this is Perry Stone, and I'm excited to announce that my son Jonathan and I have completed our first co-authored prophetic book, Children of the Apocalypse. This powerful 24-chapter, 277-page volume is overflowing with transformational prophetic insight and includes urgent practical protocols for you, your city, your church, and your children. 12 of the 24-chapter topics include Cribs in the Crossfire, Pornography, the Electronic Seduction, Infants, Children, and Pregnant Women at the Time of the Rapture, Secrets to Protective Prayers, Beware of Becoming a Scammer's Victim, Preparing for a Sudden Societal Breakdown, Forming an Apocalyptic Family Plan, Protocols and Wisdom to Outwit an Attacker, Protecting Your Church, Your Ministry, and Your Congregation, Dangerous Places to Be Living When the Birth Pains Begin, When Is It Time to Flee to the Mountains, The Curve That Rules the Beast, The Babel Effect, and so much more. I want you to order now and receive a limited first edition copy personally signed by myself, Perry Stone, and my son, Jonathan. As a special bonus, you will receive the new 2-hour series available on CD or digital download, in which I will present compelling evidence that we are now entering the major birth pain cycle of 2026 and beyond, along with another powerful message unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. This signed edition of Children of the Apocalypse is available exclusively through Perry Stone Ministries. I want you to order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, and request offer CA-153 for your donation of $30 or more. Or you can mail in your request for the offer number CA-153 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Your copy is waiting, so please contact us today. I will promise you, you will glean powerful new information and prophetic content. And I love the protocols, because we're going to teach you how to be an overcomer and how to deal with the serious challenges that are lying ahead as we are now entering the final cycle of the major birth pains before the return of the Lord. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And remember, your giving helps keep Manifest on the air. I want you to give me your undivided attention for just a few moments, because the Manifest telecast is kept on the air mainly through support that comes from the United States of America. Almost everything we do overseas has to come out through the giving of those who support Voice of Evangelism Ministry. 98% of our support is from the United States. Now, let me say this. One of the ways that we keep Manifest on the air is through our resource offer. I am very excited. I want to say this. I'm not just excited about the content of this book, which is incredible, but I'm excited that my son, who is a genius with technology and with the times of AI and transhumanism and all these things we hear about, wrote the last four chapters of this book. And this is just called Children of the Apocalypse, Protocols for Flourishing Spiritually and Practically in the Last Days. And when you order the packet, you can order the book by itself, but if you want to order the packet today, we have signed the inside of this book, and it is a first edition signed by both authors, which makes this a collectible edition and not just, you know, a book to read. It's a collectible edition. And we're going to only sign so many of those, but you have to order this through Voice of Evangelism to get the signed copy. With the offer comes, now entering the major birth pain cycles 2026 and beyond, stunning new prophetic insight. This deals with birth pain cycles of 2026 and beyond, unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. These are 2 hours of teaching from some brand new teaching the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit and gave me revelation on. And if you don't have the CD player, you can actually order the packet. And when you order it online, it will say, do you want to get this in the download? So you can, in the price, get the download that you want to of this. And then the book will be sent to you. So please go to that now. Let me just mention that I'm coming to One City Church April 10th, 11th, and Sunday morning, the 12th of April. That's Beaumont, Texas. Please, all you wonderful Texas folks, I really don't get to come to Texas that often. And I really want you to come and join me, if you will, at Beaumont, Texas during that time. And then we have the International Prophetic Summit at the end of April. And that's going to be a wonderful time. I think we start on Wednesday night. Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, 14 services. And it's no fee to attend, but you have to register to get that armband for access into the main building. Perrystone.org is where you register. God bless you.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z., Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit perrystone.org for more details.